Time for Magnuson Nature News, a monthly program about the amazing nature inside Magnuson Park. Each month will have a different theme featuring one of the animals or plants that lives here in the park. You'll hear fascinating facts, true nature stories that happened in the park, and the best places inside Magnuson Park to find our featured animal or plant of the month, and much, much more. Magnuson Nature News is brought to you by Magnuson Children's Garden, a great place for the whole family to visit together during any month of the year, and where all our events are free. I'm your host, Emily Bishton, and if you're one of the thousands of kids and parents who've met me over the past 15 years at Magnuson Children's Garden, or while I was working at Magnuson Community Center Nature Programs, the Jane Addams or Sandpoint Elementary School Garden Programs, or from any school who has come to Magnuson for a field trip, I want to give you a special welcome. Welcome to Magnuson Nature News. This month, our nature theme is beavers. Magnuson Park has a whole family of beavers living in the wetlands. Have you ever noticed signs of the beavers? Well, the kind of signs you can look for are trees that have been chewed and cut down, and it looks like there's just sort of a pencil point sticking out of the ground, because beavers have such sharp teeth. Also, you may have noticed that the pond water got deeper from the beaver dams. And if you go in the wintertime to look for beaver signs, you might see their lodge or the actual dam itself, once all the leaves have fallen off the trees. Well, beavers are just amazing creatures, and they do amazing things for our environment. Let's talk a little bit about how a beaver does what it does. They have so many adaptations that help them with their life underwater and in their lodges. First of all, since beavers have to swim a lot as part of their daily life, they have a special clear eyelid under their regular eyelid that can close and create almost like swimming goggles so they can open their eyes underwater to see where they're going. Also, they can close a little flap inside their nose so that they don't get water in their nose when they're swimming underwater. Kind of like sometimes how we wear a little nose plug. And they have flaps like that inside their ears so they don't get water in their ears when they're swimming underwater, like we wear earplugs for. And they even have one in the back of their throat so they can be carrying a big log and swimming underwater and they don't swallow any pond water. Pretty cool. Beavers also have very sharp teeth. The layer on the outside of their teeth is harder than the layer on the inside. So when they're chewing on the trees, they're always sharpening their teeth at the same time. So their teeth are just like a carpenter's chisel. Very sharp and very quick to cut down a tree. A small sapling that's maybe only 2 inches in diameter, they might cut that down in just a couple minutes. But they can even cut down really big trees and are able to cut them down so they fall right where the beaver wants them to be. Beavers are really cool. Another thing about the beaver's body is that they can hold their breath a really long time. because sometimes they have to work underwater on their lodge or their dam. They can stay underwater for 10 or 15 minutes, sometimes even longer. Wow. A lot of times people ask me what beavers eat, because they're thinking that beavers only cut down the trees to build their lodge and their dam. But actually, beavers eat the soft, green, growing tissue of the tree that's right underneath the bark. That is super yummy to a beaver. They also might eat the tubers from water lilies. Sometimes they eat grasses. But most of the time, they like that soft green growing tissue that's called the cambium, that's right underneath the bark from small trees. Small trees have very tender cambium, and it's very thick and green. One other thing people ask me a lot about is, do the beavers live in the dam? Is that where the lodge is? Or why do they build the lodge? Why do they build the dam? Well, here's the reason. Beavers need a safe place to raise their babies and also to sleep, because they sleep most of the day and work during the night. They need to be safe from predators. That's why they build the lodge. And then, once their lodge is built, they build a dam to flood the pond right next to their lodge, to create a moat around the lodge, just the way that in olden days, people that built castles built a big moat around them to protect them. And the entrance to the lodge is underwater, so only the beaver can dive down and find the entrance and then come up inside the lodge on dry land and have a cozy little house. Super cool. So they build the dam just the right height that it creates a big moat around the lodge, but it doesn't get too deep because the inside of the lodge needs to stay nice and dry. And a beaver lodge is the home for a single beaver family, mom and dad, and the kits, which is what baby beavers are called, the kits that were born that year and the previous year. Because it takes a long time for a young beaver to learn all the amazing things that its mom and dad do to build the lodge and the dam, to take care of it every single day, make sure it doesn't leak, and to really make sure that everybody stays safe. So it takes a couple of years before a baby beaver is ready to go out on its own and try to find its own mate and build its own lodge and dam with its mate. Takes a long time. Mom and dad have to teach them a lot. Maybe like how your mom and dad have to teach you a lot about things like how to tie your shoes, how to ride a bike, all that kind of stuff that helps you. Another amazing thing that beavers do is they chop down extra trees in the fall and stash them under the water, sticking them down into the bottom of the pond. Kind of the way we put food in our kitchen cupboard. The pond is their cupboard, and they put food down there so they don't have to come out on a freezing cold day and cut down trees. They can eat the food they stashed underneath. Isn't that amazing? Now I'd like to tell you a little bit more about the tools that are built into a beaver's body that help it do its work. First of all, it has 5 toes on each of its front feet that help it dig. There are sharp nails on each toe that help it dig in the mud and grab a hold of that mud and even swim with it if they need to get it to the dam or the lodge. Because the mud is what holds all the tree trunks and branches together that they've cut to build their lodge and dam with. If you walk along the wetland trails and you look down along the shoreline where there's mud, see if you see the front paw prints of the beavers as they've been walking and digging. I bet you'll see some. Their back feet are webbed a little bit like a duck's foot to help them swim. The same way that duck feet help a duck swim, the back feet of the beaver are what does most of the swimming. And they're very strong feet and legs. A beaver also has a very nice coat of fur covering its whole body except for its tail that help keep it warm, and there's a layer of fat underneath that fur that helps keep the beaver warm even when its water is very cold. The beaver's tail also stores a layer of fat. That big flat tail, it has little scales on it, also helps the beaver steer a little bit while it's swimming. And the tail also does something to help the beaver warn its kits or its mate if there's a predator or any kind of danger nearby. The beaver can propel itself like a little jump out of the water and then smack that tail down on the water and make a great big kerplunk. And the water sprays way up high and it makes a big sound above the water and below. And every beaver that hears that knows that another beaver is telling them that danger is around. Now that you know all these things about beavers, it's easy to see, isn't it, how perfectly suited they are for their life above the water and below it. I hope you'll take a walk in the Magnuson Wetlands to see the beaver signs for yourself. Our special guest this month is Elisa Kerr, the program and project manager from Beavers Northwest. Beavers Northwest is a nonprofit organization, and part of Elisa's job is to teach people in the community about all the cool things that beavers do that is good for our environment, and also to work with landowners who have beavers on their property out in the country. She teaches them how to manage the beaver activities without harming the beavers or their dams and lodges. Welcome, Elisa.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Great. Well, I am really interested in some of the things that you think are really cool about beavers.
Yeah, so I am really enamored with the idea that beavers are ecosystem engineers. So they're not just really passively living in an environment. They're changing it and creating a whole new ecosystem and a habitat by building these dams. And so they create these huge wetland ecosystems that help a huge variety of species in our area and throughout North America. And I think that's one of the coolest things about beavers is that they are creating these ecosystems. They're providing habitat. They're improving water quality in many cases. And I even like to talk about how they have the potential to help mitigate climate change, which I think is really, really cool.
Oh, I would love to hear more about that.
Yeah, so there has been some research kind of emerging about it, and one of the big things that we talk about is that as the climate changes, especially in our region, we're going to see a reduction in snowpack, And so that means we're going to have these whole changing stream hydrology systems. So if beavers are relocated or just living in mountainous streams, they have the ability to store water, hold onto it, keep water high in the watershed, and provide more input throughout the year that we might lose from reduction in snowpack. So it's a really, really neat idea that beavers can help to mitigate some of those impacts of losing our snow in the mountains by holding on to water high in the watershed.
It's like they're building little reservoirs for the world.
Exactly.
That is super great. And I always think it's funny that people say busy as a beaver and nobody really thinks about it all that much. But when you know about what beavers do, you realize that you couldn't really pick a better species to stay busy in.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, they are very hard workers. They have the ability to rebuild dams overnight and hew through trees overnight. It's pretty amazing.
Yeah, I'll never forget when they chewed through about a 2-foot diameter cottonwood in one weekend and dropped it straight down over the exact place they wanted to build their dam, as if it was laid there by a queen. It was so perfect.
It's pretty amazing. There have been studies done that beavers fell trees preferentially in the direction that they want to, so it's pretty amazing.
Sure done them a lot of great stuff at Magnuson to make the wetlands store more water, and also it seems like the around where the dams are and where their lodge is, it's sort of like a little community center.
Definitely, yeah. That's the power of beavers, is they're helping improve that biodiversity, and they just help provide such great habitat for all these other creatures.
I always see lots of ducks and ducklings and hanging around there. And I've seen heron just kind of standing around the dam. And pretty cool to see.
Yeah. And they provide really good habitat for fish as well. Those ponds are really important for particularly juvenile coho salmon, who spend a lot of time in the freshwater streams before heading back out to the ocean. So it provides a really safe space for those juvenile fish to hide and lots of bugs for them to eat. So really neat habitat.
Great. So what got you interested in beavers to begin with?
Yeah, so I was working on a restoration crew for the Washington Conservation Corps, and mostly we were planting a bunch of trees and pulling out blackberry, the typical kind of restoration tasks around here. But there were a couple projects where some restoration site had been impacted by a beaver dam. You know, beavers had moved in because we had created this perfect habitat for them, and some folks weren't happy with it. Maybe there was flooding or something. And so a few times throughout my time as an AmeriCorps member, I was tasked with going out and just ripping out beaver dams. And to be honest, I loved it. I thought it was so fun. And looking back on it, it's kind of funny because I was just destroying these dams, which they came back and rebuilt. But putting on my chest waders and crawling into the stream and just pulling sticks out of the stream was really, really fun. And on one of those projects, one of the project managers decided to pursue a different solution, because clearly if you're pulling out a dam every day and then the beavers come back every night and rebuild it, it's not really a sustainable solution. So they hired Beavers Northwest, and I interacted with a few folks that worked for Beavers Northwest then, and pretty much told them I loved what they were doing and it was really, really great, and convinced them to give me a job after I finished my AmeriCorps term. And so I hopped right into the Beavers Northwest team and had been helping folks figure out some non-lethal beaver management solutions ever since.
That is so great. Yeah, I've heard that that beavers can make their dams almost indestructible if they're there long enough.
Yeah. And we often, you know, are dealing with dams that hadn't been built, that had been built pretty recently. And so it was a little bit easier to pull out. But definitely once they mature, you know, if the dam's been there for a couple of years, it essentially just turns into a berm of dirt as things start to decay in the middle, and they're constantly packing it with mud and rocks and sticks. And so it does become really, really strong. And I've seen some pretty huge beaver dams that would take a lot of effort to pull out of there.
The biggest dam at Magnuson is like that. It's hard to even tell unless you know, on a guided tour, that it's even a dam, because it does just look like a big mud berm, and you see the other side of it to see the, you know, how much water it's holding back.
Yeah.
On the other side. And so, and now it's got trees and bushes growing out of it, so kind of looks like it was always there, but the beavers built it from the bottom up.
Yeah, that's amazing. I think it's really neat to see when other plants start growing on top of the beaver dam. And that happens so often because so many plants are able to colonize that awesome soil that is coming from this beaver dam decaying and beavers packing nutrient-rich mud on top and things like that. So it's pretty neat when the dams almost disappear into the ecosystem.
I've noticed that about the lodge here at Magnuson, too, is that it's getting really a lot harder now, even in the winter when the trees are green, to see the lodge because it has things growing out of it now also.
Yeah, and a lot of the trees that beavers chew down and use in their dams and lodges, like willows, will re-sprout. So even the material that they're using to build is probably contributing a little bit to some of that regrowth.
Yeah, we have a willow house in the children's garden that just stuck willow branches that were cut off a big tree into the ground, and they sprouted and made a kind of a living tree house.
That's really neat.
So I guess we have something in common with the beavers. Yeah. Well. Anything else you'd like to tell about, like a beaver, some adventure you had that where you saw beavers? Or?
Yeah, I actually got the opportunity to go to Magnuson Park at the beginning of August and go on a nighttime nature walk kind of right at dusk. And we had the opportunity to see four beavers come out of their lodge. It was really a beautiful experience. They come out pretty much right as the sun's setting and just see them swimming in their pond, which is really, really neat to see.
And we got a big tail slap out of it, too, didn't we?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Always. The big tail slap is very impressive.
Yeah. That is a very good warning tool, that big tail.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And I think, you know, Magnuson, being able to see the beavers right there, it's so accessible. And the park staff there has done a really, really great job of trying to live with the beavers and make sure that, you know, people can still utilize the trails, but the beavers can be happy in their wetland as well. So they're employing some of those non-lethal beaver management solutions that we at Beavers Northwest think are so important.
And I know they've had consultation with Beavers Northwest in making some of those choices. And so it's wonderful that I agree that Parks has got a very benevolent attitude of wanting to make sure that that they aren't totally disturbing the beavers with what they have to do in order to keep the trails open. And you know, they've had some trial and error, but they have, you know, maintained that goal. And I think it's really fabulous because you do get to see them beavers up close almost any evening, especially in the summer. If you go out there at dusk, they're there and on the wetland trails. It's pretty great.
Oh, yeah. That's a really, really neat experience to have. And we've got quite a few urban beaver colonies in Seattle, so it's definitely something that I advocate everyone go check out their local urban beavers. On our Beavers Northwest website, it's beaversnw.org. We have a little interactive Google map that has some of the sites that you can see beavers, including Magnuson and Golden Gardens and some other sites throughout the the urban Seattle area.
So cool that you have them mapped out, because there are quite a few in the area, Portage Bay area, but a lot of folks don't know. If you just, you know, wait till dusk to take your walk, you might have a nice little view of a beaver and maybe even some little beaver kits.
Yeah, definitely. Now is the season when you might see some of those little kits coming out.
Yeah. Wow, this has been really fun. Thank you so much for being my special guest.
Of course. Thanks so much for having me.
And I look forward to seeing you in the park again soon.
Yep, hopefully we'll see some more beavers.
Yeah, I'm sure we will. Thanks again.
Yep, thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right.
On Saturday, July 27th, we had a very special nighttime nature walk in the Magnuson Park wetlands. We had special guests, Elisa Kerr from Beavers Northwest, Christopher Anderson from the Washington Department of Fish and Wildlife, Kevin Orme from Bats Northwest, and master birder John Houghton from the Seattle Audubon Society.
Wow.
A team of experts. And our theme for the walk was bats and beavers, and wow, were they out to show us their nighttime lives. We saw baby beavers swimming around in the shore pond and in the promontory ponds, and a full-grown adult beaver let us watch it for over 10 minutes eating pond plants on the edge of the shore pond. So cool. We also had 6 different species of bats flying around us. And Chris had a really great bat detector that let us know exactly which species they were. It was a night to remember, and I learned a lot too. Earlier that day, I went to the wetlands and saw a green heron perched in a tree, which is a very secretive little bird and so exciting to see. Also, there was a mother gadwall with a little group of ducklings. Also, a rare thing to see young ducklings at this time of the year. And I just received photos taken at the end of July at the Magnuson Community Center Owl Nest Box from one of the many owl watchers at Magnuson Park, showing the young owlets almost ready to fledge. That explains why at our May 25th walk, we could only barely hear the little owlets hissing. They must have just been born right before then. Another bird we saw at the nighttime walk was an osprey perched high in one of the wetland cottonwoods. That was the first time for me to see an osprey in the wetlands itself, because usually they're in different parts of the park in the tall trees looking out over the lake because they eat fish for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. So that makes me wonder if the wetland ponds have fish that are getting big enough to catch the eye of an osprey. That's something new and exciting to watch for. I hope you'll come to one of our future walks to enjoy what the wetlands have to offer in the daytime and the nighttime. See you in the park!